B-Pod Studios.
Sub. These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz. 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, calls, as promised, the whole final hour. Pat in Providence has been holding on the Patriots. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys, I'm not saying the Patriots should have made Trent Brown the highest-paid left tackle in the league because they just proved that last year they can grab anybody off the scrap heap and make them look like Jonathan Ogden. But I am worried about them putting in what will essentially be a rookie next year at starting left tackle, not only because it's probably the second most important position on the field, but because Isaiah Wynn is only 6'2". He has the body of a guard, and if you look at the rest of the starting league, starting left tackles in the league, the shortest guy is 6'4". You don't put guys with guard bodies at left tackle. You put monsters over there. Tyron Smith, Taylor Lewin, Trent Brown, Russell Okung, Nate Solder, the list goes on. So I think another insurance policy is in order via draft or free agency.
Okay, we'll see. I don't know. Left tackles are expensive. Even insurance policy left tackles are expensive. This is a little uncharted. In that, last year was a little uncharted. The whole run here, it went Matt Light to Nate Solder pretty much seamlessly. And there was one year where they did cross over, right?
Correct.
And Solder played on the right side. So it's like when Matt Light moved on, Solder already had a year in the system and had played on the offensive line and was coached by Skarnecki and blah, blah, blah. And then he took over for Matt Light. It was sort of seamless. And then, so last year was a little bit of a departure with Trent Brown, but at least he was a veteran guy. Now you're talking about a redshirt freshman, for all intents and purposes, who's really more of a guard than a tackle, and he's going to step in. That's different for them. They've had great stability at that position over the years.
Yeah, it should make you uneasy. They need another body there. I mean, you call it a swing tackle, but I think they need something better than your typical swing tackle.
It's going to cost you.
Well, unless they think it's going to be Leader and Waddle doing the job.
Well, right. He's a free agent, right?
So maybe they get the best out of him like they did with Trent Brown in a walk year, you know? Maybe that's the plan.
Yeah, he's not as good as
a big
Trent
risk.
Brown.
No, it should be Isaiah Wynn. You draft a guy there, he should be your left tackle. Brian and Marlboro on Michael Bennett. How do you like his chances here?
Hey, guys. I like the chances a lot, and I hope you'll let me get out what I got to get out. I had a little bit of problem with what you guys are saying. Felger, you sounded like you attributed Michael Bennett as saying that both Brady and Belichick were enthusiastic Trump reporters. That, I think, if I read it right, that's actually from the reporter.
Yes, it is. No, that's what I said.
Bennett. Okay. All right. Well, no, if you listen to the tape, you made it sound like you attributed it to Bennett. More importantly, though, Bennett wanted to have the conversation the way that I read it is the, you know, how do you support a president who, as an African-American, doesn't treat African-Americans the same as white people? That's basically how I read that comment. And for you to then change that into politics and then character assassinate him is a little bit different.
You don't think that's politics?
You guys are making fun of him. No, it's not about if it's politics. It's the reason why these guys are kneeling to begin with.
It's politics. I think
it has everything to do with law enforcement and how they treat people who aren't white compared to people who are white. And that's the point everyone keeps missing and doesn't want to talk about. Furthermore, even Jim Murray and you both said, oh, if he plays well, he doesn't have to worry about it. And then Jim Murray went on to make a comment to say, I think we're above the whole racial slurs that players. Really? Were we that way in 2012 when an off-duty cop racially slurred the hell out of Carl Crawford 4 years after the first African-American president? You guys need to wake up, man. Seriously, the way that you're talking about this is the same way. You didn't want to talk about it with Colin Kaepernick, and then you character assassinated him.
This is what I'm talking about. Does anyone want to do that?
Sure don't.
Does anyone want to do that for 2 minutes, never mind 2 hours? Anyone want to do that for 4 minutes, never mind 4 hours? Whether the guy's right or wrong. I'm not telling him he's right or he's wrong. I'm telling you, do you want to do that thing right there? The thing that he just wants to do? Do you want to do that?
So here's what I would tell him just so
So a new guy shows up on the job and wants to do that thing with me? Oh, my God, please. Can you give me a break? Can you give me a break? I'm trying to do my job here. Can we have this another time? We'll save the world some other day. I'm not disparaging your cause. But that thing, that caller, that intensity that caller brought to his political and that whole thing, do you want to do that on this show? Do you want to do that in the locker room? Do you want to do that at your place of work?
I don't want to do that in life. Really.
I mean, and so, but that's what I think Michael Bennett invites. So I'm just telling you, get ready for it.
No, listen, to me, this is the guy is a outspoken, polarizing presence. So, and just so the caller is clear, I am in support of the cause. I believe the cause is worthy, just so you know. Okay? But the fact is that none of us like that spilling into our workplace because it's interference. It just totally derails you.
Oh, it's just painful.
I don't like it at a cocktail party.
It's painful. Mike in Rockport on Westbrook. Hi, Mike.
Hey, boys. How's it going? So, Matt, I'm pretty sure I heard you say earlier that Russell Westbrook has numbers, but he doesn't make people better. Is that correct?
Yep.
So that sounds awfully familiar to one Celtic player who we might know as Cry Ray. Is that correct?
So you're not wrong to say that. Mike, you're not wrong to say that.
That's a good point, Mike.
Yeah, you're not wrong to say that.
So I would like to honestly name one good thing that he has done for the Celtics. One and off the court, on the court. Name one good thing. Name one game he's taken over what are we doing here with this guy?
Well, Mike, I can do that. I can name games he's taken over. He took over the Toronto game when they were here right after the All-Star break, I think it was, or before. I don't remember. The game here where...
But he hasn't improved their record. Their record's better without him. So that's not saying you're better without him. I'm just telling you the fact.
Sure.
What their win-loss... He has not improved their win-loss record to this point. He's created a whole raft of crap off the floor with his attitude and his moods and how it affects the team. He's created this whole level of uncertainty with the will he, won't he. I mean, it's LeBron. It's like having LeBron on your team, just a player who's not as good. But what has he brought? Potential. Their potential is greater with him on the team because he's a brilliant basketball player, one of the best in the league. So you should be better with him, and he should be able to take you farther than you would go without him. That's what he's brought, the potential. It hasn't realized yet. Last night was another blowout. You know how many blowouts they've had with him on the floor?
A ton.
How many have they had without him? Like, they've only lost twice without him this whole year, right? And one was in Cleveland. I don't think it was pretty. I can't remember the other one. The record without him, I should know it off the top of my head. But in the record without him, like 10-2, 11-2, something like that?
It was something like that at one point. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
But
the caller's not wrong to make that comparison. I think Kyrie Irving's a better player than Russell Westbrook. I think Russell Westbrook is extremely overrated. He's terrific. Don't get me wrong. But he is flawed. And Kyrie is too. But Kyrie's better than Russell Westbrook. He's better.
Tom in Quincy with a Red Sox thought. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, what's up, guys? Oh, I'm so happy because this topic is right in my wheelhouse, as you guys know. The numbers that Maz read off earlier, as much as I hate the Sox aren't doing well, I love the fact that Dombrowski stood pat in this bullpen, and this is what he's sticking around with. But honest to God, right, how is he going to back off that Thornburg-Steven Wright comment? Because now, if Bobby Pointer is the one that finishes with the best ERA in the preseason, am I going to have to listen to that now and say, well, look what I got. Look at this guy. He came out of nowhere because this is what I feel like he's going to do. That lineup in the bullpen is atrocious. Atrocious. And that guy, to me, is just – he's like the gift that keeps on giving. He'll come out and really try to back these other guys that have played like absolute garbage.
Proper pronunciation.
Oh, yeah, no. Excellent pronunciation of garbage. No two ways about it. Seriously, just rattle them off. Thornburg? Well, the velocity's back, but he still can't throw a strike. So that's the bad news. Workman? Velocity's down again. Velasquez, Johnson. You know, these guys are borderline big leaguers in many cases. Like, all of a sudden, you think you get the nasty boys out there?
Well, but, you know,
suck. Seven suck bag teams.
To the caller's point, though, a lot of the guys that Dombrowski mentioned, you know, he says, you know, we got Steven Wright out there, Thornburg. I know you don't realize it, but he closed in Milwaukee. You've got Pointer. Okay. PED suspension gone. Thornburg suck. Other guys not able to pitch once because he's a pinky toe infection.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three of the guys that he mentioned out
correct.
There.
Correct. Yeah. And Barnes, whose ERA this spring is 36. Suck. So look, a couple of those guys are serviceable big league relievers. Barnes is a serviceable big league reliever, and I like Brazier, even though he hasn't pitched this spring. So I'm not telling you that it's the absolute bottom of the barrel. But championship, the attitude, the approach, cavalier. It's a cavalier approach. And so after a good spring last year, it just feels like they have the worst record in Florida right now. And I'm not telling you that's the end all. I'm just telling you it doesn't feel like it's been a great spring. And the season starts in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Does their bullpen feel ready to you?
Well, not based on those numbers, Anthony. I would say no. It does not feel ready.
Tony, there is good news, though, for the Red Sox.
What's that, the garbage? Toronto, they blow. Tampa, they blow. The Orioles, they suck. So this is true.
Yeah, that hasn't changed.
No, that part has not changed.
AFC East. Back with more of your wonderful thoughts after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
I would aim on the second page, Murray, just to do your thing. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Oh, boy.
God, you throw like a... That is unbelievably bad.
Well, it's a marker. I don't know how you want me to throw the thing. I need a baseball.
Like Joe Kelly back here.
Yeah, really. Wade Miley are throwing markers. Top right.
Later, Jimmy.
Trey Flowers out of Arkansas.
And with the second pick of the fourth round, the New England Patriots select Trey Flowers.
Wyatt looks to throw. He's pressured. He's wrapped up. He's thrown backward. Another sack by Trey Flowers. He's been in on three sacks this evening.
Where the back to the right of Mahomes, who takes the snap on third down and nine. Dropping back. Scrambling away from the pocket. He's tripped up and he's dropped back at the 37-yard line.
No field goal.
Trey Flowers in pursuit with Van Noy, Claiborne, and Hightower.
Way to go, boys. Way to push that pocket.
Gurley to the right of Goff, who takes the snap against a four-man push. He's pressured. And he's sacked yet again.
You can't see stuff.
Two defenders collapse the quarterback. Trey Flowers and Dante Hightower again on the spot on a Super Bowl stage.
The biggest defensive free agent is going to sign with the Detroit Lions. Trey Flowers, another former Patriot, going to reunite with Matt Patricia.
Trey Flowers now, this is what you need. You have a guy now who is a multi-positional player, defensive tackle, defensive end, can stand up in a two-point at defensive end. And a guy who, have you heard anything bad about Trey Flowers since he's come into the league? Is he someone who you can't depend on? Absolutely not.
A little Trey Flowers retrospective there for you, courtesy of Jimmy Stewart. Forgotten that he was a Felger Mass big board honoree. We're good there, huh? We are good. It's coming
up. Seriously, though, huh?
Next month.
Yep.
Big board will be coming out. Continue with your calls on that. Whatever you want. Red Sox, the Michael Bennett situation. Like, for example, Brian in Rockland waiting patiently on Michael Bennett. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you for using the word patient, and I'm going to keep it short. I am throwing up all day over this friggin' trade. Flowers deal. I had unique opportunity to run into him the day before the Minnesota game, which may have been the most pivotal game of the Patriots season in terms of momentum. And I looked at him and he looked at me. I didn't want to bug him. And I said to him, I said, you know, there's a rumor going around town that there's Flowers popping up all over the razor. And he goes, is that true? I go, absolutely. We fist pumped. And I go, you are the glue. You have the glue,
Brian,
holding this together.
Okay, babe. Yeah, I know. I wish they would have signed him, too. Do you got anything else?
The Spanish guy's a clown. I don't know if they're playing games or not. Is he really signed with Detroit?
Yeah, Flowers is officially signed. Well, not officially, but he's gone, and Bennett's here.
I mean, remember that in the case of Anthony Barr, and that's what people are now sort of wondering can happen, right? Anthony Barr had agreed with the Jets and then now is going back to the Vikings.
Yes.
Okay. The Vikings offered more money overnight. They sweetened their offer, probably because they were losing Sheldon Richardson to the Browns and they didn't want to completely destroy their defense. Are the Patriots going to offer more than $80 million, $90 million for Trey Flowers?
Oh, boy.
So just that's all you need to know.
I don't see it.
Okay, like if it got to the point where the Lions offered that and the Patriots were out, well, then why all of a sudden would the Patriots turn around and offer more?
No, and talk about, not to go too deep into your story there, caller, but the antithesis of Trey Flowers, who was never seen from, never heard from. We talked about this. The guy never said the wrong thing, never did the wrong thing, to the point where it's really hard to remember a single thing he ever said. I don't know what his voice sounds like. And so he was just the classic lunch pail, punch the clock, do your job, exactly how they wanted it done, make plays, and then go home. Bennett's a playmaker. But the punch the clock and go home thing, you're not going to get that.
See, but this is why the whole notion and concept of the Patriots way or the Patriot way is complete and utter bullcrap. It doesn't mean anything. It's garbage. It's just the stuff that the fans like to spew to beat their chest and say we do it the right way. When the reality is, you know what the Patriot way is? Buy low, sell high. That's it. That's the Patriot way. It's about a guy like Flowers now has exceeded his value, and he has because he's a free agent. So we stay away from a guy like that, and we go after a guy like Bennett because on the current market, $7 to $8 million for a player of that caliber is a good deal. So we'll do it. That's the Patriot way. It's got nothing to do with character or makeup or any of that other crap.
Dan in Charlestown on the Red Sox. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. So there's a lot of big names coming up. I know you're talking about Sale. And I'd say J.D. Martinez is 100% going to opt out. You both, I think, last year said that he's a rental. But I think if you can extend for him, even over Betts, I think he might be better for your team over the next 5 years.
Five years?
A lot of Manny Ramirez.
Oh, he's a tremendous hitter. I don't know if I go Manny on you, but he was tremendous. I totally misunderstood him. Miscast him. How old is he?
He's around 30, isn't he?
So you want to sign a guy into his age?
He might be 29. I'll check.
35, 36 season? Is that what you want to do with J.D. Martinez? Or do you want to get that? I mean, again, and this is
a DH, too, remember, which is what he is.
And this isn't – I used to hold this against him, but it was just, I think, 4 years ago that he was released.
He'll be 32 in August.
Okay. So 33, 34, 35 for a guy who was out of the game, essentially, or released, flat-out released, DFA'd. When was that? 3-4 years ago?
I think that's right, yeah.
So, I don't know. Feels to me like get the most out of him and move on before the fall.
Meaning I mean, so this is a question that Red Sox fans need to ask themselves. It might be one or the other.
And I'm not signing him over Betts. Are you kidding me? No.
So, if it's a shorter contract, I am. But I don't think it's going to be a shorter contract.
Sure it will. He's not going to command the 8 years.
Well, when I say shorter, I don't mean relative to 8 years. I mean, generally speaking. So I mean like 2 or 3 year deal, I'm in. But you're not going to get him for that.
Joe and Peabody on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hope you've been good. So but as far as Kyrie, Mike, that's not too much to say. Do we have to worry about Kyrie's menstrual cycle? That's a problem. I just want to bring that back. The quote that you mentioned about him going to Doc Rivers.
Yep.
Maz made a statement where he hit it on the nail about Garnett being on the same page with Doc Rivers, and that's why it was so crucial and how he won. He had a way. Garnett was a dog. He had a way of kind of policing and keeping everybody in line, and they all knew where his heart was. They hashed it out, and there was just something big about that when, you know.
Well, no, well, so Joe, what I think you're driving at is that Doc Rivers is the right coach to coach superstars because he played in the league and because he had success as a player. That he was able to relate to them and was able to work those egos. Stevens, I don't know if I hold it against Stevens or the players, but
players.
It just doesn't feel like there is that there's that gravitas. I mean, Jimmy, can you just play the walk-off again on ESPN on Saturday night? This was the Lakers game. After the Lakers game. It's not a couple minutes old. I mean, would anyone have said this about Doc or to Doc after the game to a national television audience? Go ahead.
We're not being up to that standard. I'm aware of it.
Can you tell us what changed? Because Brad said the plane right out here, that everything was just different.
I did some coaching on the plane myself. Right. I helped Coach Stevens with some coaching. But
okay, I mean, do you think anyone would say that about Doc?
No. And again, like to me, you know, Doc understood the importance.
Those guys didn't feel they were bigger than the coach, even though they probably were. They didn't carry themselves like that.
No, and
Kyrie carries himself like
he
that.
He does. Yes, and Doc was able to appeal to them in such a way that made them feel like they were bigger than the coach, but that actually gave him a say. He knew how to handle them. And so now the easier part for him was that Garnett, for a coach, really is an easier guy to handle than Kyrie is. Because Garnett was a team guy, was a veteran guy, and put an emphasis on winning. That's what it was. He wanted to win. He'd been around long enough. This guy's already won.
Cam in Taunton wants to weigh in on the Red Sox. Hi, Cam.
You know, just to give you guys a quick story of what you've been saying about this, that happened to me. My workplace, first day, this lady walks in, says to me, not introduce herself, not check her hand. The first question, did you vote for Trump?
I love that.
This world is unbelievable. But on the Red Sox, you know what this feels like? This feels like the 2014 spring training all over again. Now, Grant, it's not going to be as bad as it was that year because you're too talented and the rest of the league is so pathetic. It's you, the Astros, the Yankees, and the Indians are waiting to blow things up because they want to. Give them an excuse, they will. But just the cavalierness, there's no urgency. You have the worst record in Florida. It's like, guys, last year's over. It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was a tremendous year. We'll remember it forever. Can we move on, please? Can we get to this year? Because this is the last year before we have to completely strip it down and rebuild, and it feels like there is no urgency whatsoever right now coming out of Fort Myers.
I mean, let's just see. They put stock in spring training last year. They bragged about how good their record was in spring training. They said it was a springboard for what happened in the real season, and Cora was sure to point that out. What is he going to say about this one, where they now have the worst record in the Grapefruit League?
Yeah.
What's he going to say about that?
He's going to dismiss it and say it's for the long haul. We're trying to get our pitching in order. We're thinking about playing in October. We're not worried about March.
That's if he's being nice.
Yeah, just ignore and pretend it's not happening.
No, if he's not, he'll say, what idiot pays attention to spring training? that's what he would say.
So, look, I don't have any concerns about this being 2014 again, okay, because I think they're too good. Okay, and I think, honestly, I think Cora's too good. I think he's better than Farrell. And he's got his finger on the pulse of the team. But what I can see happening is a bad start. I can see that. They open on the road, 4 in Seattle, 4 in Oakland, 3 in Arizona, 11 games on the road, all against pretty decent teams. Like, I can see them coming out and going 4-7.
Coming up next, the Patriots Planet receiver, and another prediction for you, Jimmy. I've got another one for you after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh Gordon is no longer a New England Patriot. There was a program in place. He has obviously, for the last 5 years, struggled to stay in football, a marvelously talented young man. He is gone, and I would imagine not only gone from the Patriots, gone from the NFL, which is a bummer. This ends New England's Super Bowl threat. It's over. It is officially over.
You know, it's obviously an unfortunate situation. Personally, I wish him the very best, as we all do, on this team. You know, he's made a statement. The organization's made a statement. The league's made a statement. I've spoken at him at length over the last 3 months, and so I don't really have anything at this point to add to that. It's a private matter. Hope that he's able to deal with it successfully.
You know, we all wish him the best. I think that's kind of how we all feel. We want him to do what's right for him.
He's a great teammate. Worked his butt off while he was here, so I think for us as players, we wish him the best personally. Football comes and goes. We're all going to compete. We're all going to work hard as far as our jobs playing football. You know, we're used to, I guess, adversity when it comes to just playing football. Lose a guy injury, guy can't play in a game, whatever that is. But, you know, I think life comes before all of that. So I think we wish him the best.
So the Planet receiver, Josh Gordon, is still... still on their radar, still in their plans. They put that restricted tender on him today just for when he comes back. No one else, well, if anyone else decides to tender him, you're protected. It's for $2 million. So if he comes back, that's his number, which is too much for him. He should be a minimum guy, all incentives on top of it. He should be getting $2 million. But that's that. And you know that if he's reinstated by the league, they're going to bring him back, which is just, what are we doing? You have any better options than that?
I mean, when I saw that,
spend a little bit of money.
Yeah, they clearly want to leave open that door. I think there's zero chance that he makes it back.
How many suspensions has he had in the league?
Four?
Something like that.
Four or five.
Yeah, and the last one was before this one. Was how long?
And I'm all for second chances. And, you know, you wish the best for the guy, obviously. But at this point, like, let's move on. Enough with this.
Listen, and the other thing is he can't do it. How many times do you and I feel badly for him on some level or part of it anyway. He can't control himself. So if you introduce him to the NFL again, what do you think's going to happen? Like at this stage, I think anybody who's around the guy should be encouraging him to do something else.
Gordon has been working out in Gainesville, Florida, according to Ben Volman, where he also received substance abuse and mental health treatment. Gordon seemed to fit in well in his first year with the Patriots, and he posted a message to social media last week of him working out in TB12 gear. Gordon forged a good connection with Brady last year, catching 40 balls for 720 yards and 3 touchdowns. Gordon lasted 11 games before earning another suspension for violating the substance abuse policy, but he will likely return to the Patriots at some point this fall. Gordon will make approximately $119,000 for every game. See, you would say, why don't they just ban him? They're trying a new thing in the league. It's sort of, they're not publicizing it totally, but they're trying to take a different approach with these drug suspensions, especially the street drugs, where it's not just test, suspend, publicly, you know, vilify, bring back, test, suspend for now double the amount publicly. It's now it's like they're trying to work behind the scenes, rehab versus, you know, just strict punishment and
support,
right? Rehab and support. I mean, it's a good aim.
No, that's a noble thing to do.
And especially if it's, you know, weed, which is borderline that you should be tested for anyway. I think Gordon's problems go beyond weed, but especially if it's that, you know, can we work with the guy to get him back and rehab him versus just hammering him over the head with suspensions and punishment? So I think the league's trying to go in that direction. It's the right way to go. I think Josh Gordon is like the poster child for it. I think like he's sort of the big test case for the whole thing. And that's why, you know, all you heard was suspended indefinitely. You don't even know what for. You don't know. It's not been set how many games, da-da-da-da-da. And I think they're working with him. So if you want him back, that's sort of benefiting you. My prediction is this. As I said to you before, it wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots have some sort of thing about being the only team that isn't announcing trades or letting signings leak out during this tampering period. Because this is not what the league intended for this tampering period. This league intended for you to make contact, discuss broad parameters of deals, and then when free agency starts, which is tomorrow at 4, announce. Or you're already down the path to an agreement. Now you can really go in with all the details and all the numbers, and then we can announce Wednesday at 4 or 5 or 6 or the next day, and we've got a two-day real free agency window, and we give you a couple days to lead up and just sort of dip your toes in the water. But that's not what has happened here. What's happened here is teams are negotiating, signing, announcing through their media friends, and it's like they've ramped up the whole free agent signing period, which is not what the league intended, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Pats are the one team that comes to agreements with guys and says, don't say a word. We're going to do, everyone else is cheating. Everyone else is violating this tampering period. We're going to do it right. Like, and no one's going to know it. No one's going to know our business. No one's going to have any clue what we're up to. And then Wednesday at 4 when we're supposed to, or Wednesday at 4:30, we'll announce who we've signed. And this is my prediction. Tomorrow between 4 and 5, we'll have a Patriot signing that is meaningful. That it won't be a Harry Schmedlap. Will not be just another special team ham and egg.
It'll be a name.
Golden Tate, Earl Thomas. These are the guys I dream of. But you, I don't know, because it makes no sense that Beasley comes off the board, that Humphreys comes off the board, that Crowder keeps coming off the board to the Jets. These secondary slot receivers, these sort of second tier receivers, all come off the board, and have signed and are done. Have you heard one rumor about Golden Tate?
Not a one.
No.
Not even a rumor. I haven't heard a team attached to him. Nothing. Which gives me a Patriot whiff. I mean, it's just like them.
Well, look, to me, that'd be a good get for them.
To lock up the player and swear everyone to secrecy and then just drop it on everybody when they're supposed to, FYI, on Wednesday. And that's sort of their play. Now, look, if freaking Cole Beasley is going to get 7+ a year, and this Crowder is going to get $9 million a year, and the Humphreys kid's going to get $9 million a year. That means Tate's at 11 or 12, which I would pay. I think he's worth it. So maybe Tate's pricing himself out. I just find it interesting that he's not listed in one rumor.
Yeah, I just put in Golden Tate in the search bar on Twitter. No, and there isn't one reputable reporter that has any info on Golden Tate. In fact, here's the notable uncommitted free agents as of this hour.
Thank you. So that I've heard no rumors about. Give me this list, because these are the guys I'd be paying attention to.
Earl Thomas, Ronald Darby, Jared Cook, Terrell Williams.
Jared Cook, the tight end?
Yes. Tevin Coleman, Justin Houston, Golden Tate, Ziggy Ansah, Marcus Golden, Mark Ingram, Cameron Wake,
okay,
Stephen Gostkowski.
All those guys. I'd consider all those guys. Now, they're not going to be able to afford some of those guys and but the guys that have been under the radar and you haven't heard anything about, those are the guys I would attach to the Patriots if you're looking at a big name.
No, that makes sense. And given their needs, Tate to me would be the most important name on that list.
I'd also take Cameron Wake on like a one-year deal.
Yeah, so there's potential. Have we heard anything about Clay Matthews?
No.
They're going to do something like that with a veteran pass rusher.
So there's going to be a veteran one-year sort of like, who was the guy from Washington that they had that worked out for a couple years?
Andre Carter.
Perfect.
And Mark Anderson, same year.
Right, like sort of that sort
of guy.
They
both got 10 sacks, I think, that year.
And they were productive. So I think they're due for one of those guys, except I know, but I bet this year we're going to know them. Matthews, Houston, Wake, etc. Someone like that. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Because again, and this is what I think their plan was on Flowers as well, the draft is supposed to be really strong on
defensive linemen.
On defensive linemen. So why... So a lot of teams are just waiting for the draft, and that's going to devalue all those guys in free agency. So let's see. I bet we'll have a free agency day tomorrow. Despite all the action that's happened so far in this forcocked tampering period, I bet you actually have a deadline show tomorrow.
So let me ask a question again that you asked yesterday, and we'll ask it again.
And I just have one more thing that I want to get to before we get to the final word, which is a detail with the Robert Kraft Orchids in Asia day spa thing. Really tiny one that caught my eye that I just want to bring to the air because I loved it. But go ahead.
Okay, so if they lose Flowers... But they end up with, for the same money, Bennett and Golden Tate.
Yeah, we said this yesterday.
I know, so I'm asking it again.
I'd do it.
I would too.
Yep.
Me too.
Yep. But now that's just for a year. We're not talking about years 3, 4, and 5. You'd rather have, but if you're just talking about next year, I think you net out better Tate and Bennett versus just Flowers.
I mean, they just have such a glaring need at receiver, but get to this. I want to hear it.
Okay. It's a really small detail.
Good. I like small details.
But it made me laugh. So I didn't see this confirmed, but I was watching The Wood this morning on Fox 25.
And she came up with this?
No. But they came up with something else that...
I was going to say, what's she reading in her free time?
And then I Googled it. I can't find it. So I don't know where Fox 25 got this. But they said that when the police went in with the warrant to place the cameras, they found that cameras were already in. Cameras were already installed by the spa itself. And they connected to the phones of the people who ran the spa. And they've confiscated those phones. So unless I heard this wrong or they read the wrong thing, I could have sworn they said it. And then I Googled it and I couldn't find it. I swore they said it. I swore that was reported.
So the people who worked at the spas or owned it, managed it, had the capacity to watch what was going on in those rooms and potentially record it on their phones?
Something like this. And the whole thing is, you know, when they went in there, they went under the guise of that phony bomb scare, right? They said there was a bomb threat.
Right, right.
So we have to go in and we've got to scope the place. And they evacuated the place. And when they evacuated the place, they planted phones. Or they planted
cameras.
But the report this morning was that there were already cameras in there, that the place had done it themselves. So but that's not it. So I started to Google around to try and find this forcocked thing. I couldn't find it. So maybe I need some help on that. But in my search for looking for that.
Oh, you found another detail.
I found this little detail.
Oh, I thought that was the detail.
Okay, so this is how they got the warrant in the first place. The overall investigation began in October when detectives from the Martin County Sheriff's Office were investigating prostitution at spas, including the Sequoia Apple Day Spa in Hobe Sound. The Sequoia Apple. And then they told Jupiter Police one of the businesses that they were focusing on was in their jurisdiction, the Orchids of Asia. In November, Jupiter detectives began their investigation, starting with finding online reviews indicating men could go to Orchids of Asia for sex, and then conducting outside surveillance, watching men come and go, including a golf cart party of 8 one night. A golf cart party of 8.
I've had maybe 5 people on a golf cart once. 8?
So and I
that's like a clown car.
It might have been 2 carts or whatever.
I don't know why I added at night. It doesn't say that. And then conducted outside surveillance watching men, including a golf cart party of 8, come and go. The Orchids of Asia wasn't exactly subtle about what was going on there, right? This is a strip mall in Florida. As you know, the golf cart's gotten a little more popular in Florida, but the roads are massive. You don't generally see golf carts on the main roads in Florida.
No, no, not on the main drags.
And this is a strip mall on a main drag in Florida. Up rolls, as the cops are watching, as they're surveilling the Orchids of Asia, here comes a golf cart with eight dudes hanging off of it.
I'm sure they were understated too, those gentlemen.
Piling into the Orchids of Asia.
Probably squeezing it in at the turn.
And then coming back out. This is where Robert was going. Do you think of how brazen that is? And they wonder how they got caught?
Maybe they were stopping in for lunch and playing 36.
Golf cart party of eight. Have you ever heard anything like that?
I wonder where they came from.
Think of
like,
this.
No, that's unbelievable. Seriously. Like, literally, almost like a drive-thru at that place.
You must be not good in terms of Googling. I found what you were looking for in 2 seconds.
See, I'm not good at Googling.
Yeah.
So, am I right?
Yeah.
They found cameras already installed.
Yeah, but it was just like security-type cameras. These weren't like sneaky cameras so they could see, you know, the rub-and-tug action going on. On January 17th, the day of the tactical ruse, nearby business owners told the TV station they remember the police activity and found it odd no other business being targeted. Two women stood outside the spa. Detectives planted the cameras, according to the warrants, but they were being watched. According to the warrants, the president of the company, Zhang, this woman's name, showed up to the scene. She told detectives she could see what was going on inside the spa thanks to video cameras that beam signals to her cell phone. Investigators confirmed they saw other cameras inside the business. They went in to install the hidden surveillance equipment when they saw them. Because of this admission, detectives also sought to seize those cameras, too, because they believe Zhang's cameras captured evidence of the ongoing activity of prostitution in the business.
Okay, I'm just curious. Do they have tape of what was going on in there for weeks and months and blah, blah, blah? They have everything that the proprietors have.
Well, at the very least, you can see who's coming and going in terms of, you know, the
correct
guys that are going in there.
Correct. So that's one that opens another door. But the golf cart? I mean, what's more obvious, the Bentley with the driver or the eight dudes in the golf cart?
I'm going B.
It's a wash. What was going on? We know what was going on there. Okay, final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
No one. All right, with Maz in absentia right now, let's relive his moment earlier today when Maz was going over some numbers on the Red Sox bullpen.
Awesome.
Yeah, as we get ready for the season now, what, week and a half away from when they kick off the 2019 season? Might not be good in that bullpen.
Nope. Matt Barnes, one inning, four runs, ERA 36.00. S-U-C-K-S. Sucks. Tyler Thornburg, four innings, seven earned runs, ERA 15.75.
Suck, 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 suck.
Brandon Workman, five innings, four runs, 7.20 ERA.
As we like to say in this program, suck, suck, suck.
Just wanted to make that clear. Hector Velasquez, 6 2/3, eight runs, 10.80. Not good.
It sucks.
Brian Johnson, 3 1/3, four runs. Like Velasquez, 10.80. S-U-C-K-S. Sucks. Colton Brewer, remember him?
Barely.
The secret weapon.
Oh, yeah, no. The spin rate.
Yeah.
He's got the high spin rate.
Yep, spin rate Brewer. Colton spin rate Brewer, the secret weapon, the stealth setup man. Five innings, four runs, 7.20.
Yep, he sucks and blows. I'll concur with you on that.
And then Roberto Mejia. I think it's Roberto. I might get the first name wrong.
The PED guy from the Mets.
Yeah, this is the guy that got popped for steroids from the Mets. Hasn't pitched in organized baseball, really, for some time.
And obviously hasn't been taking them.
Correct. 3 innings, 2 runs. He's one of the better ones. 6.00 ERA.
Suck, 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 and suck.
Right across the board. The entire Red Sox relief corps, 41 innings, 34 runs in spring training.
It sucks.
They have been garbage. They have been complete, total garbage. And I don't think they're getting any help.
The whole team sucks. Yeah, tremendous work by you two.
We're just giving you the stats today.
Tremendous, just the facts.
That's all we're doing. Yeah, just the facts.
Here comes
the facts.
More facts. Arcand and Jones. What, Jones?
Well, I like the end of the road trip for the Celtics last night. I felt like they needed to finish things off. Not that I expected them to go 4-0 on the trip, but just, you know, you start 3-0, you're at Staples Center, you're playing well. You can finish the trip on a high note. You can actually gain ground on Philly and Indiana, and they failed to do so. Oh, and as you guys detailed wonderfully earlier today, Kyrie also taking shots at his head coach. So we'll start with that.
So you agree that's what he was doing there?
Yeah. What else was he doing?
Arcand?
I mean, it's kind of tough to deny this one. Everyone was saying that Stevens and Kyrie were all buddy-buddy on the plane on the way over. It's like Vegas, you know, on the way over, everybody's all happy. On the way back, everyone's all sad and depressed because they lost all their money. Like, that's what happened.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that. I'd let him talk a little bit more, Jones. 90 seconds, no commercials. Here comes Jones and Arcand. We're back at tomorrow, too. See you then, Anthony.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.